Doc Spencer knelt on the floor and took from his bag a pair of large scissors. Then, to my astonishment, he proceeded to slit the cloth of my father's left trouser leg right up to the knee. He parted the cloth and looked at the ankle, but he didn't touch it. I looked at it too. The foot seemed to be bent round sideways, and there was a huge swelling below the ankle bone. "That's a nasty one," Doc Spencer said. "We'd better get you into hospital right away. May I use your phone?" He called the hospital and asked for an ambulance. Then he spoke to someone else about taking x-rays and doing an operation. "How's the pain?" Doc Spencer asked. "Would you like me to give you something?" "No, I'll wait till I get there."
"As you wish, William."
"But how on earth did you do it?"
The doctor waited.
"I was mooching around up in Hazel's Wood."
"Ah. And what's it like up there these days? Plenty of pheasants?"
"Stacks of them."
"It's a great game," Doc Spencer said, sighing a little. "I only wish I was young enough to have another go at it."
He looked up and saw me staring at him.
"You didn't know I used to do a bit of poaching myself, did you, Danny?"
"No,"
I said, absolutely flabbergasted.
"Many a night after evening surgery was over, I used to slip out the back door and go striding over the fields to one of my secret places. Sometimes it was pheasants, and other times it was trout. Plenty of big brown trout in the stream in those days."
My father closed his tired eyes, then opened them again.
"Which method did you use for pheasants?"
"Gin and raisins," Doc Spencer said. "I used to soak the raisins in gin for a week, then scatter them in the woods."
"It doesn't work."
"I know it doesn't," the doctor said, "but it was enormous fun. I never caught any. But I was hot stuff with trout. Do you know how to catch a trout, Danny, without using a rod and line?"
"No," I said. "How?"
"You tickle him."
"Tickle him?"
"Yes," the doctor said. "Trout, you see, like to lie close into the river bank. So you go creeping along the bank until you see a big one. And you come up behind him, and you lie down on your tummy, and then slowly, very slowly, you lower your hand into the water behind him, and you slide in underneath him, and you begin to stroke his belly up and down with the tip of one finger. He loves it so much he sort of dozes off, and you quickly grab hold of him and flip him out of the water."
"Ah, only a great artist can do that," said my father.
"Thank you, William."
Dr. Spencer got up off his knees and crossed over to the door of the workshop.
"By the way, what happened up there in the woods? Did you step in a rabbit hole?"
"It was a slightly bigger hole than that," my father said.
"What do you mean?"
My father began to describe how he'd fallen into the enormous pit.
Doc Spencer stared down at my father.
"I don't believe it."
"That's perfectly true."
"But great heavens alive, Victor Hazel can't go digging tiger traps in his woods for human beings. It's diabolical."
"I never did like that Victor Hazel.
Ah, here's the ambulance." The ambulance drew up near the workshop door, and two men in uniform got out.
"Bring me a leg splint," the doctor said.
One of the men fetched a sort of thin wooden plank from the ambulance, and Doc Spencer strapped the leg firmly to the plank, and my father got onto the stretcher. I was still sitting on my chair. Doc Spencer came over to me and put a hand on my shoulder.
"I think you'd better come on home with me, young man."
"Won't Dad be home today?"
"Yes," my father said. "I'll be back this evening. Thank you for offering to take Danny, but it won't be necessary. He'll be all right here till I get back. I reckon he'll sleep most of the day anyhow, won't you, my love?"
"I think so," I said.
"Just close up the filling station and go to bed, right?"
"Right."
I stood outside the workshop with Doc Spencer and watched the big white thing drive out of the filling station. As soon as the doctor had driven away, I went into the office and got out the sign that said, "Sorry, closed." I hung it on one of the pumps. Then I headed straight for the caravan. I was too tired to undress. I just flopped down on the bunk and went to sleep. More than 10 hours later, at 6:30 in the evening, I was woken up by the ambulance men bringing my father back from the hospital. They carried him into the caravan and laid him on the lower bunk.
"Hello, Dad."
"Hello, Danny."
"How are you feeling?"
"A bit woozy," he said, and dozed off almost immediately.
As the ambulance men drove away, Doc Spencer arrived and went into the caravan to take a look at the patient. He'll sleep until tomorrow morning. Then he'll wake up feeling fine. I followed the doctor out to his car. I'm awfully glad he's home, I said. The doctor opened the car door, but he didn't get in. He looked at me very sternly and said, When did you last eat something, Danny?
Something to eat? Oh, well,
Suddenly I realized how long it had been. I hadn't eaten anything since I'd had supper with my father the night before. That was nearly 24 hours ago.